Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin our Lenten journey with Luke chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, a familiar story, one that we've perhaps heard from the other Gospels a number of times. There's one particular word I want to draw your attention to in this reading, because it means everything for this reading and for us. It's a little word. And that word is if. If is a word of challenge. If demands proof. If is a word of ultimatum. If you do this, then I'll do this. If is a word that casts doubt on a situation. If that's really true, then prove it. It's not the first time the devil has used the word if to cast doubt, and it won't be the last. In fact, even today, the word if is used all the time to challenge, to question, to raise doubt and suspicion among our beliefs or our faith. If God were really God, would he have allowed that to happen? If. We may not pay attention as much to that word, but it's important for us to understand this word if and what it means. See, the one who uses it is always trying to accomplish the destruction of something. Did God really say, you shall not eat it or you'll die? You will surely not die. Did he really say? In our reading, we pick up at the temptation, but previous to that, in Luke chapter 3, we first have the baptism of Jesus, where Jesus is led down into the water and he comes up out of the water and there is a voice and a dove and it says, you are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And what is the first question out of the mouth of the devil? If you are the Son of God. After the baptism of Jesus, Luke lists the genealogy of Jesus, starting from Joseph all the way back to Adam, the Son of God. And what's the first question that the devil asks? If you are the Son of God, then do this. What more proof does the devil need? What more proof does he demand? The voice said that he's his beloved son. The genealogy says that he's the Son of God. And yet the question comes. If you are the Son of God, then do these things. Turn these rocks into bread and eat. Worship me. And I'll give you everything. Jump off the cliff or the top of the temple. If you are the Son of God, prove it. The temptation in the wilderness is an interesting story because a lot of times we will say, well, It was Jesus. So of course he wouldn't give in to temptation because he's Jesus. But look at the temptations that come. If you're hungry, eat. If you want power, I'll give it to you. If God really loves you, he won't let you get hurt. Again, this isn't the first time and won't be the last time that these questions come. These challenges arise. They do to our faith every single day. If God is God, then why doesn't he seem to hear you when you pray? If God is God, then why did that person get sick? Why didn't he heal them? If, why? Everyday challenges to our faith. The wilderness wanderings of the people of Israel lasted 40 years. The wilderness wanderings of Jesus lasted 40 days. Lent lasts 40 days. There's no coincidence with those numbers. It's all about a time of challenge, a time of struggle. Now, our lives, most of the time, are longer than 40 years, but it is no less a time of struggle. Or no more a time of struggle. And those same questions, those same doubts, those same demands for proof come up all the time. If. So what do we do with that? How do we respond when those doubts arise in our own hearts, not just in the world around us, because they're there, they're always going to be there, but what about the doubts, the challenges, the struggles, the questions, the ifs that arise in our own hearts? What do we do? Because we can't, as our Mighty Fortress song said, we would be lost, rejected, if we stood against the devil ourselves with the if questions. We wouldn't be able to stand. So what do we do? Well, there are times when each of us gives in to the ifs. We stumble. We falter. We fall. It happens. It happened to the nation of Israel time and time again over the 40 years of wilderness wanderings and the rest of their history. It's happened to every single person since time began. Since Adam and Eve ate that fruit at the very beginning, the ifs have overcome us. So we just pack it up, right? We give in, we go home, we forget about it all. Well, you're here this morning, so I imagine that that's not the case. You haven't packed it up. You haven't given in. You haven't decided that there's something better to do. So what do? Well, we come here, right? That's what we do as the people of God. We gather together. Because when we're together, there's much more support and encouragement. There's much more strength in all of us being here together. In the combination of the Holy Spirit bringing all of the pieces of us and putting them together in these seats this morning. Since you all set your clocks right. We're all here. We're here because the ifs are going to come. We're here because the ifs have challenged us. We're here because a lot of times we have a case of the ifs ourselves. We're here to hear the word of God. Which, if you notice, that's the way that Jesus responded. He didn't say, well, I am the Son of God, so I don't have to do what you tell me to do. No. He said, it is written. He responded with the word, knowing that you can't, as much as the devil would like to, argue with the word. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So in other words, Satan, if I am the Son of God, which I am, Jesus says, I don't have to turn these stones to bread because I live by my Father's word. If the doubts arise, if the struggles come, if the questions are there, we have the word. But if that's not enough, God gives us more. He gives us his very own Son. He gives us the true Son of God, Jesus himself. He gives him to us in his word, in his people, by the Holy Spirit, and in the sacrament of the altar, the body and blood of Christ, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. If this is the body and blood of Christ, then it will forgive your sins. We don't have to wonder about the if, because Jesus says, this is my body. This is my blood. There's no if about it. But I know the way life goes. The ifs will come again. They're chronic. Kind of like that cough that never goes away. We've had that before. It's chronic. The ifs come. Sometimes daily. So here's once again where God gives us the grace and his mercy. He says, when the ifs come, read the red letters. When the ifs arise, have this close at hand. When the ifs show up on your front door, trying to sell you something, keep this close by. So this is the answer to the ifs. It doesn't ever satisfy the ones who really want to challenge the devil, the world and all its empty promises, but it's the gift of God that we have. It's the answer to the ifs. It's his word, his promise. So I won't say if the ifs come, I will say when the ifs come. God has given us that antidote to the ifs in his word and sacrament, in his church. So if you know somebody who has a case of the ifs, invite them. Bring them here. Let the great physician deal with the ifs. Let the great physician work on those ifs. After all, he overcomes them in you. He can do them with someone else. And we all know people who have a case of the ifs. And this is the best place for them. may take them a while to get here. How long does it take you to go to the dentist when you know you've got a toothache? Sometimes a long time. But we keep trying. Keep inviting. Keep bringing. And we know that the if will become a when through the promise of God. Amen. Now may that peace that is ours in Christ guard us and keep us always in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.